As most of you are aware, we finished our meditation last week in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, and I have felt perhaps the right thing to do is to carry on with the next epistle, which is the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. And we pray that our meditation in this epistle may prove to be a blessing. So we'll read the first chapter tonight, the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians, and reading chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Probably it's hard for us to realize today that Ephesus, when the apostle was there and when the apostle wrote this letter, was a thriving and very large city. In fact, one of the largest cities in the Middle East. And of course, they were the worshipper of Diana to a great extent. They were idolaters, but nonetheless, there was a church there, and there was a healthy church there, and there was a church which had grown. And so the apostle now comes and from Rome and wrote this letter to the Ephesians. And how a good letter it is, and how instructive. And as we go through this epistle, you might bear in mind that the aim really of this epistle is to establish the saints in the doctrines of the gospel. Now that was important in those days, and it's no less important today. The doctrines of the gospel are very great and very glorious, and to the true believer, they are food for the soul. So as we go through this epistle, may we remember that this was written to the Ephesians so that they might be established in the doctrines of the gospel. Now, this evening, I'll just speak a few words on the first two verses in this letter, which are really the opening verses, of course, and they form a similar pattern to that in most of his letters when he writes to the various churches and indeed into the individuals. And so the first two verses read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes in this way, not in a proud or false way, but writing to these Ephesians so that they might understand that he was an apostle whom God had chosen, and it was the will of God that he was an apostle. And yet, as he was an apostle, he was called to declare the great truths of God, not only, of course, to the Ephesians, but to the church of God, wherever he went. And we shall recognize the truth of such words. Sometimes, I suppose, people are afraid to acknowledge what God has called them to. The apostle here was called to preach the gospel, and it was by the will of God. We're told, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And we should never be ashamed of God's calling to us. We won't be in the same category as the apostle Paul, because he was, of course, very privileged and very favoured, as were the other 11 apostles. But nonetheless, the Lord does call his people today by his will to serve him. All the church of God are called by the will of God to serve him. And it's a wonderful thing when you and I appreciate that God has a work for us to do by his will. We should never think there's nothing for us to do. We should always search out what the Lord will have us to do, and that it will indeed be in accordance with his will, by the will of God. It wasn't Paul's will that he was an apostle. Indeed, Paul's will was to serve himself. Paul's will was to oppose the Christian religion. But God's will was very different. And what a blessing that is in our lives when we find God's will for us is so wonderful and so undeserving. The Lord comes and takes those, as the apostle said, less than the least of all saints, to do those things which shall be God honouring and God glorifying. And so he comes and he addresses it to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, we should realize that all of God's people are referred to as saints. Again, that not because of anything good in themselves, but it demonstrates what God has done for them in calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so the word of God is wonderfully written like that. And here, this letter is to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Because, in reality, it is only those whom the Lord calls who will understand, will appreciate, and will be blessed by such truths. And so here we're told it's to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So all of God's people are saints, and all of God's people are those who are called faithful in Christ Jesus. They are called by God, they are blessed with living faith, and they are to be faithful in their lives, faithful to the things which they have been shown, faithful to those things that God has declared unto them. And they should never hide their religion, they should never think of it. They should always be concerned to do those things which are God-honouring and God-glorifying. And to such then he speaks like this, and he says, "Grace be to you." Now, all of those that he's referring to obviously were those who had received the grace of God. The grace of God is, of course, the free, unmerited favour of God. Because if they had not received it, they would not be saints and they would not be faithful in Christ Jesus. But so they would have received the grace. But the whole purpose of this surely is that they and we might grow in grace, a greater knowledge, a greater understanding of the blessed and glorious God's favour toward us, and how unworthy we should be. And as we view ourselves, and as we grow in grace, we should feel ourselves to be more unworthy, not more worthy, but more unworthy, as we are blessed with the grace of God. And so the apostle desired this for the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And not only, of course, was this referring to the saints at Ephesus, it refers to us in this phrase, really, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, who, of course, are also saints. And not only does he say this, "Grace be to you," he also says, "and peace." Well, how do we receive peace? We only receive peace as we view it, as we view the Saviour. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. And there will not be peace to our souls unless we have that blessed faith to view the Lord Jesus Christ as that one who wondrously has come into this sinful world to redeem our souls. How valuable is this great truth, peace. Now, this is the peace of God. This is not any peace which is people strive after naturally in this world. This is the peace which follows the grace. Grace be to you and peace. And who is it from? God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So as God the Father reveals to us something of his wonderful love, which we've sung about in our opening hymn, see, this will bring to our hearts peace, because we would have the evidence that the Saviour has brought peace through his death. We who were strangers, we who were far off, are brought nigh, near to the Saviour by his shed blood. And so we have this really very wonderful opening statement to the Church of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I suppose if that is spoken to us into our hearts, what a great blessing it will be, and how favoured we will be, and how we shall rejoice in this great truth and desire that we may indeed be blessed indeed. And so let us remember that this epistle is for the establishment of the saints in the doctrines of the gospel, and we should be looking forward to that spiritual growth, growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, which will bring peace to our hearts. Amen.